Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 23rd day of November. I'm your host, Paul White. Thank you for joining us here at Paul White Ministries today for this podcast. We feature 9 audio drops every single week. 7 days a week, we walk through the Word, which is what we're doing right now. We're in Genesis chapter 14. 2 days a week, Wednesdays and Sundays, we give you a second drop. That's a full-length sermon. Check it out. If you're listening to this podcast, wherever you're listening to this podcast, then you can just scroll back through all of our library and you'll notice all kinds of material. It's all free of charge. Enjoy yourself. Feast at the table. Enjoy good news. Hopefully you fall in love with Jesus because you see that Jesus is madly in love with you. That's my passion and my desire. I love to imagine that we're helping remove the grave clothes of covering, stuff you've covered yourself with, guilt, shame, fear, stress, even hiding out from truth. And as that stuff gets stripped away, and it's stripped away because we see the beauty of Jesus, we walk in the blessings and the free favor of God. Today and tomorrow, we are going to deal with and conclude the Melchizedek passage from Genesis 14. His passage takes up only 3 verses, 18, 19, and 20. Quite remarkable that such an important segment of the New Covenant, particularly from the book of Hebrews, is birthed out of such a small passage, only 3 verses long in Genesis 14. Yesterday we introduced the story, its context, its setting, its place, its interpretations, its possible interpretations, and how it develops into something else in the New Testament. Today I want to deal with the bread and the wine from verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth." He also then blesses God. This bread and wine, tomorrow we'll deal with the next verse, which is the tithe, okay? So let's separate these two ideas from the same source story. The bread and the wine, until this point, have had no meaning. They haven't appeared. But now it's not as if wine hasn't appeared, but not as a blessing. Wine first appears in the story of Noah, where Noah plants a winery after the flood, and then a few years in, it had to be a few years in, because it takes years to get wine from a virgin winery, a new winery, and then he does, and he's drunk, and then that encounter happens with his son that sets a part of his family into a curse. And that incident with Noah causes, that's like the kickoff point people have with wine a lot of times. Like, here's why wine is bad. And yet, here's this moment in Genesis 14 that almost seems to be a redemption of bread and wine. Bread is a finished product of man's agriculture. Wine, the finished product of a winery. And both agriculture and wine have a bad history at this point. The father of agriculture is Cain, and his story is not good. And then the first mention of wine is Noah, and his story doesn't end well. And so up until this moment, bread and wine haven't had a storied history. And then here comes this character blessing Abram with a gift of bread and wine. When Jesus sits at what we call the Last Supper, that moment where he dines for the final time before the cross with his disciples, the Bible tells us in multiple moments in the Gospels, including Paul's recounting of it in 1 Corinthians, that Jesus breaks bread and gives it to his disciples, claiming that the bread is his body, and that he pours wine into a goblet. He drinks from it and he shares the same glass with his disciples, claiming that the wine that's inside of that is representative of his blood. So 2 things that early in the book of Genesis are tainted by the failure of man get redeemed by the success of Christ, and that starts in the Melchizedek story. Jesus takes it to the next level, really building on the Melchizedek story. Here's a king of peace, king of Salem, king of peace, offering to mankind the gift of bread and wine. Jesus, the prince of peace, offers to mankind the gift of bread and wine and inserts a higher interpretation of bread and wine. No longer is bread just the end result of man's agriculture, wine that which made Noah drunk. He says now the bread and the wine represents something better. It's been redeemed. It is the body of the Lord Jesus, the blood of the Lord Jesus. When we then, as believers, partake in the bread and the wine, and we're not just talking about we eat a meal and we have a glass of wine. When we partake in what we refer to as communion, we're communing together around the gift. Please hear that. The king of Salem, Melchizedek, gives a gift of bread and wine to Abram. Jesus gives a gift of his body and his blood to his church. We take it in the way Abram took it in, as a gift. Whatever we give will be in response to the gift, not to get the gift. Notice that the tithe comes after the communion. It comes after the bread and the wine. This is to set a precedent that we become givers as a result of having tasted the gift. We produce works as a result of his work offered to us. I like to think that if, and I'm getting slightly ahead of myself, because I'm not dealing with the tithe until tomorrow, but the gift response is best associated with the gift reception. So if you want to see a place learn to give, then teach them how to receive the gift. And the bread and the cup represent the gift of grace exemplified in the body of Christ and the gift of grace exemplified in the blood of Christ, so that the body of Christ becomes whatever has natural implications is in Christ. The blood of Christ, whatever has supernatural implications, is in Christ. And I can receive of his body for my natural body, and I can receive of his blood for my supernatural body. I can be the recipient of the gift of the bread and the wine, and out of that will flow a response to his gift, will become my gift. So I think part of the struggle sometimes that we have in the church, when I hear from pastors and be like, well, you know, people don't give, and especially in grace communities, they go, we release people from the tithe and they don't give. Now what do we do? I think we need a restoration of what it means to receive the gift of the body and the blood. I think we've pushed this sacrament off to a couple of times a year on the calendar to such a formality, like we have to throw it in instead of we get to commune. I think the more that people receive the body and the blood of Jesus and see it as a gift into their life, into the system that they are in, they will become responsive to that gift. That leads me to the first mention of the tithe in the Bible. And we're going to traced bread and wine with you today through Jesus. We're going to trace the tithe as well from its origin point at the Melchizedek story and what that means for us. And we'll do that tomorrow on the last podcast before Thanksgiving. We'll see you then. God bless.